Hello and welcome to Meiwei's Chinese Medicine Matters podcast, where we share traditional Chinese medicine news, research, and topics relevant to TCM practitioners and students. Today's very special episode is by Yvonne Lau, the president of Meiwei, where she will tell the story of how Meiwei became what it is today.
Meiwei is a family business of over five decades, so the Meiwei story is really a family story. It started when our parents escaped communism, came to America, and in 1969 opened a tiny herb shop in San Francisco's Chinatown with the money from our mother's wedding dowry. Our grandfather had been the village herbalist, and so fortunately our father had come to America with a trade. Although they spoke almost no English, our parents had big hopes for the future. They were very grateful to be living in America, and to honor their adopted country, they named their business Meiwei, Meiwei, which means America is mighty. I was born first, followed quickly by our brother Hugh, and then our sister Eva, and we lived above our shop, which was across the street from Portsmouth Square. A few years later, we moved to a larger location on Powell Street, which had a small storefront but a cavernous back area, which doubled as storage and living space. Our youngest brother Richard was born while we lived there, and I have clear memories of Richard being strapped to our mother's back as she sliced shanyao and huangqi and so many other herbs. Back then, we did a lot of herb sorting, weighing, and packaging ourselves because bulk herbs were much cheaper. Our parents imported dried herbs by the barrel from Hong Kong, and they even did some of the processing themselves. We became used to watching them trim the tops of dangshan with gardening shears, honey-fried gantou in a big wok, slice donggui, and stir-fry plenty of other herbs. Our parents worked hard, usually continuing their work after dinner, and began selling herbs to other shops in Chinatown. We kids were given very light jobs, like bagging dried mushrooms or refilling big herb jars. Kids all over Chinatown helped out in family businesses, but I like to think that growing up in a Chinese herb shop was, and probably still is, a relatively unique experience. To this day, whether I'm in an herb market in China or a posh herb shop in London, that all-permeating, heady herb smell will bring back vivid memories of playing hide-and-seek in dusty herb cartons, stealing sticks of shanyao to use as sidewalk chalk, and sneaking tiny round biscuits topped with colorful candy from a big jar, which we found out much later were actually anti-parasite medicine. We were surrounded by weird and wonderful things. As kids in the 70s not having many toys, we battled with geckos splayed on sticks, stroked velvety deer antlers, played house with skeletal seahorses, and were both fascinated and repulsed by a rhino horn with some skin still attached, sold to our mother by a big game hunter, and which we eventually had to relinquish to U.S. Fish and Wildlife. Herbs really were part and parcel of our lives. Besides the unending stream of herbal soups and bitter teas, we kids sucked on honeysuckle flowers growing in the park and picked up stinky ginkgo nuts and spiky lulutong off the sidewalk to bring home. Our mother would dry corn silk and cobs, seeds from apricots and peaches, the stems and leaves from persimmons, all the while telling us about all the many uses of food herbs, which of course we only half listened to. Occasionally, a non-Chinese person would walk in, which would make us quite curious. Chinatown was still an ethnically homogenous and relatively closed community back then, and the only non-Chinese we had regular contact with were our classroom teachers. Our parents would speak with these intrepid herbalists in their very limited English, tickled that these Westerners were pronouncing herb names in Cantonese. To this day, our mother can still recall many of their names and what they tended to buy. This is how we met many TCM pioneers who would later become the first licensed acupuncturists in California. While many have since passed away, I suspect that some may still remember us as four snot-nosed kids getting yelled at by our mom for running around the store. In the early 80s, our parents decided that we should expand into a larger retail space. With rents in the better parts of Chinatown being very expensive because of tourism, we moved into a former grocery store on the periphery, on the infamous Broadway. Now, parts of Broadway are undoubtedly a part of Chinatown, but back then we shared the block with one Chinese restaurant, a newspaper stand, a bar, a pizza parlor, a Hofbräu, a strip club, and if memory serves, a porn theater. As a newly licensed acupuncturist started practicing in exotic places, or at least exotic to us, like Santa Cruz, we started to do mail order and hired our first employees. Joe bought to fill prescriptions, our Uncle Robert to work the counter, and a teenager named Alice to take phone orders. I still remember Alice very fondly. She was 19 and had spiky hair. She was really nice to me, wore makeup, and I thought she was totally cool. As we became teenagers ourselves, weekends and summers were filled with working in the store, which of course we hated. By that point, we had moved yet again, further down the block, as the porn and strip clubs were replaced with a National Dollar Store, a Chinese movie theater, and more Chinese restaurants. We briefly operated an herbal restaurant next to our store, which was a great concept, but maybe a little before its time, and definitely mismanaged, since none of us had any restaurant experience. Our then 14-year-old sister Eva was our primary waitress on weekends and during the summer. Our wholesale business slowly grew, and we have many not-so-fond memories of running back to the store after Chinese school, which was 5 days a week and ended at 6, helping to quickly close up shop, and speeding in the family delivery van to bring all the mail order packages to the UPS hub in the Mission before it closed at 7. It was a tough life, and it's hard to express the joy and relief of our entire family when the UPS began pickup service. Two other significant developments happened in the 80s. First, we became the U.S. distributor for the Lonjo Fosa Pharmaceutical Factory, which was already well known in China for its line of classical formulas in tea pills, which eventually became known as just Lonjo pills. We are happy to say that this partnership has deepened and expanded over the decades. Second, we created our own house label. A poet at heart, our father named our house label Plum Flower, one of the four gentlemen of Chinese culture. Plum, orchid, bamboo, and chrysanthemum embody the Confucian concept of junzi, or gentleman, representing noble character and morality. Plum flowers bloom in the desolation of winter, serving as a metaphor for inner beauty, endurance, and resilience. Our first products were liquid extracts of ginseng and royal jelly in small glass vials. Today, the Plum Flower line encompasses hundreds of tea pills, tablets, herbs, and extracts. Later, two other key events helped steer our family's course. First, the Loma Prieta earthquake in 1989, which caused major damage and affected communities from Santa Cruz and Monterey counties up into the Bay Area. One structural casualty was the Embarcadero Freeway, which had skirted along the Embarcadero from the Bay Bridge and straight into North Beach and Chinatown. The city opted to tear it down rather than rebuild, making it very inconvenient to get to our part of the city. This coincided with the development of new Chinatown communities in the Richmond and Sunset districts and in other Bay Area towns. People no longer had to go into old Chinatown to shop, and business in the enclave suffered a decline it has never recovered from. We held out until 1995, when we very sadly closed our retail store. This was a huge emotional blow to our parents, who felt like they had lost their home. We were permanently leaving Chinatown, so they were leaving a community they had spent nearly all their waking time in for close to 30 years. The other significant event was our warehouse fire in the summer of 1992. We had been renting a warehouse down near 7th and Bryant, and an old electrical panel started a fire. The wooden structure burned quickly, taking with it almost all of our inventory. We quickly looked for a new space, and our dad found an old Coca-Cola bottling plant up for sale in West Oakland. It directly faced the ruins of the demolished Nimitz Freeway, which had also been heavily damaged in the earthquake. Unfortunately, the question of whether to rebuild it later became mired in city, state, neighborhood, and local business politics that would leave it huge piles of graffitied rubble all the way until 2005. Of course, we didn't know all of this at the time and bought the building. Because of the fire, we had no inventory for about 4 months and so spent many joyous days rollerblading through it. Slowly, we've made it our home for the last 30 years. After college, I joined the family business in earnest, traveling to China 2 to 3 times a year to visit manufacturers, attend trade shows, and learn about herb quality. My siblings eventually came on board, and the four of us have been running the business together now for over 2 decades. Sometimes we laugh about whether it was duty or destiny. I think it's both. In the early 80s, our dad had tacked up a hand-drawn organizational chart that included us kids and the 3 employees we had at the time. He put our names in the executive positions, even though 2 of us were still in grade school. Except that my sister and youngest brother took each other's positions on the org chart, Eva handles operations and Richard the finances, I guess we fulfilled our father's vision of the American dream. Happily, what was once squarely family duty has evolved into a genuine appreciation of our work. While we will often disagree, worry about a million things, and wonder whether we will ever be able to retire, we are very proud of how our family and business have endured and still serve the community. Our dad was one of three founders of the Chinese Herb Trade Association in San Francisco in 1984, and I serve as its executive vice president today. We regularly support nonprofits such as Acupuncturists Without Borders and state acupuncture organizations. We built our own herb processing facility in China to better source and control the quality of our herbs. We have a monthly newsletter and now a podcast to help our customers feel like they're connected to a larger community. We have literally spent our entire lives around herbs, and as first-generation Americans, we look forward to a time when traditional Chinese medicine is fully integrated into American life. Personally, I also look forward to the day when my teenagers think what we do is actually cool. Our story doesn't end here, but I want to say on behalf of our family that we are deeply grateful to be a part of the TCM community. We enjoy working together as closely as four siblings can, and truly cherish the friendships, partnerships, and trust you've honored us with. Thank you for your support of Meiwei and of Real Chinese Medicine.
Thank you for tuning in, and again, today's episode was by Yvonne Lau, the president of Meiwei. We have exciting new episodes coming up, so please subscribe to the show. It's a great way to show your support and to get notified when our next episode comes out. Next week's episode is a mid-year check-in of the 2022 Year of the Tiger predictions, which was written and will be read by licensed acupuncturist Wendy Goldman. Until then, take good care of yourself and your patients. Chinese medicine matters, and so do you. Hi everyone, Lauren here again, wishing you a happy and healthy May. As many of you know, Chinese Medicine Matters is the podcast of Meiwei Herbs, a TCM online store and dispensary where practitioners can ship directly to their patients. This month on Chinese Medicine Matters, we're focusing on women's health. We'll explore a wide array of topics related to women's health at different stages of life. So stay tuned for informative episodes you won't want to miss. And we're excited to offer a special discount on our Women's Health Formulas category the entire month of May. Practitioners use code WOMEN24 at checkout on meiwei.com to receive a 15% discount. And remember to sign up for the Meiwei Herbs newsletter for exclusive content and ongoing promotions. The episode description includes a link to sign up. And thanks again for tuning in and supporting Real Chinese Medicine.